God bless you. You listen Love to
Talk Radio.
God bless you. You listen to Jeremiah Speaks. Let us get him on the phone right now. Reverend Reed, you're live on the air now, so that everyone can hear you. Please take over the phone, the broadcast.
Okay. Well, good evening, and welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. And it's good to be before you one more time. It's a beautiful Thursday evening. The fall and autumn is here in the northern neck of Virginia. The leaves are turning. It's cooling off, a high of 81 today. And just a breezy and wonderful day all day long. I don't think anybody could complain about the weather that we've had this week. We are glad to come before you on this beautiful evening. Had a little technical difficulty, but nothing to be worried about. It's exciting to be on the air. So this is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We always want to give out the contact information at the beginning of the broadcast, so that you raise a point or something, you can make a note. We ask that you get a pen and a pencil. This is Thursday night, and we are doing the Sunday school lesson, the International Sunday School lesson. So our contact information, Jeremiah Speaks, is email goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Our telephone contact is 804-313-7853. We encourage you to text us or email us your concerns, your Bible questions, feedback as far as what we are doing well and what we're not doing so well. We want to hear from you. And you are the purpose of the broadcast. The more people we reach, not about the numbers, but the more people that we lead to Christ, teach something about the Word, share about the Word, pique the curiosity in the Word, that's what we want to do. So we come tonight talking about the International Bible Sunday School lesson. I am Gernard Reed of the Jeremiah Speaks Ministry. We started this last week. We talked about a quarterly theme and a unit theme and then the theme for the particular day, and that's what we're going to pick up this week. We're going to go right back to what we did last week with the lesson. Today's lesson is for this coming Sunday, the 18th, and the title is Faith is Endurance. Well, that's the theme that we adopted as well for the week, is that faith is endurance. Endurance meaning the ability, in layman's terms, the ability to hold out. So now we want to see that how in the world is the Hebrew writer going to introduce us to being able to hold out because of our faith. And so the scripture for today's lesson is Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 11. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 11. Our quarterly theme, the 13 lessons that are on faith, our quarterly theme is a living faith. And so all 13 lessons deal with faith. If you're teaching, if you're a superintendent, or if you're in some kind of a instructional capacity, it is important, I think, that we know these themes, the quarterly theme, the unit theme. The unit theme is for the month of September is what is faith? And know these themes, be familiar with them, and refer to them during the course of each lesson. Quick review. I said last week we had a lesson for September 11th, and that was faith is assurance. It was taken from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verses 1 through 11. And we began by defining faith, which is almost a universal definition, which came from Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is recognized by scholars, and we talk about this as being the beginning of the roll call of faith, or even the Hall of Fame of Faith, is that Hebrews 11 is referred to as the roll call of faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith, because he talks about patriarchs and characters from the Old Testament who made it by faith. And he calls them like a faith Hall of Fame. But he says, by that faith, the elders retain a good report. And then he mentions some of the elders. Now, as an exercise, as a challenge, I wanted to do something for Monkey Wrench into this nice, pleasant lesson. And so I said, you know, a funny thing. Last week, if you take that definition, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you take that classic definition of faith and take the word faith out and fill the blank with gambling, it seems to work. Now, gambling is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So is gambling, the word gambling, interchangeable with faith? And I said, one of the things that this scripture highlights is it seems to work. We could actually get away with saying gambling is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen until we go to the next verse. And then when we try with verse 2, for by the elders gained a good report. You're not going to gain a good report with gambling. And so it neither did they. And so it doesn't hold up. It doesn't measure up when you do that. And oftentimes people will throw things at us or challenge us or ask us about the word, and we get caught up on one line of scripture. And if we isolate ourselves and don't look at the whole pericope, only look at that one line of scripture, we can get trapped, and then we start believing things that are not there in scripture, and we begin to doubt things that are not there in scripture, and all because we didn't read the whole chapter. We didn't read all the verses. And then we didn't check out perhaps with a Bible dictionary or with a contextual resource. We didn't check out what this word may have meant. For example, the word conversation is used by Paul in the New Testament. It's also used by the Hebrew writer. The word conversation, and it talks about our conversation. It's not talking about what we're saying. It's the conversation. The meaning is lifestyle. And so I have a Rainbow Study Bible here. My King James is a Rainbow Study Bible. And in the back of the Rainbow Study Bible, it has, as one of the helps, a list of words that no longer mean what they meant when the King James Council wrote them. That's really helpful. Conversation is in that list. And so knowing things like that, that's a study tool that's it's so helpful. It's a good way to learn about the words. And so even though it's translated into the English, and the classic English, that's what it meant, we don't use those words anymore. We don't use conversation to mean lifestyle anymore. Somebody said that's comparable to, you know, a lot of songs from back in the 50s. Everybody was so happy and so gay. Well, we don't use the word gay like that anymore to mean happy. It means something else at this point. And so in the Bible, we want to be on top of that, and we want to not give one verse too much authority, because out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be made true. That works with people. It also works with the word of God. So when somebody has one verse and they come to you with one word, one verse, and stand on that with no witnesses, with no backup, with no corresponding reference scriptures, it's suspect. So we get to the review. We find out that replacing faith with other words didn't work. We also have two, an Old Testament and a New Testament exhortation to not change anything in the Word of God, not add, not change one jot or one tittle, and not to add or take from the Word of God, because the Word of God is blessed and perfect. So now, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith made us able to understand that. Without faith, we can't see that. We can't believe that that's a creation theory. For a lot of folks, it's a theory. Or there's a Big Bang theory. That's just as powerful as a creation theory if you don't have faith. But if you have faith, you can actually see that God could speak and the waters were separated from the dry land. God could speak and light was separated from darkness. That God could speak and man and the animal kingdom were created perfectly. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Abel was justified. And by faith, Abel received God's testimony. By faith, Abel, being dead, yet speaks. Stop and think about it. When you talk about Abel in the Bible, most people know immediately what you talk about. Whether they're a babe in faith or whether they've studied the Bible a long time, most people know who Abel was. So being dead, even though he was killed, the first murder in the Bible, he yet speaks. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he would not see death. So last week, we had a good week. And we talked about the purpose of faith and that faith is assurance, that our faith assures us of things to come. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the Hebrew writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please God because God operates in the faith realm. So if we're working and trying to be like God and lack faith, wasting our time. Then when we talked about approaching the Bible study last week, we looked at it and I said, this is so ninth grade, but it works so well. It is just so well. It works so well. I have six trusted friends who taught me all I knew, and they are what, when, where, why, how, and who. Those six questions. It's so simple. So ninth grade. That simple. Those six questions cover it all. So I said last week, let's teach the class. All right, so let's look at, and this is for teachers and anybody who's studying the word, anybody who wants to be in Sunday school and on top of things. I like to get answers. I like to see wholesome answers. So we go through the six trusted friends. What is it? It's the quarterly theme. The quarterly theme is a living faith. It's the unit theme. This is September, so the study in September. Last week, studying September is what is faith. Last week's lesson was Hebrews 11, and it talks about faith as assurance. Today's lesson, I didn't finally get the name in today's lesson. Today's lesson is faith as endurance. It comes from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And so we move on, and when was it written? Same as it was last week. Somewhere between 67 and 69 A.D., and I mentioned last week that that is so important in determining who he was writing to and the conditions that were going on when this was written. Remember, it's good to remember at 70 A.D., the fall of Jerusalem, that's a turning point. Some things happened before the fall. Other things happened after the fall. So in determining when something was written, it is important. If they determined it was written before 70 A.D. when Jerusalem was fell, or after 70 A.D. And where was it written? Well, there's no good information on where this was written from. The traditional title of the Hebrew is the Hebrews was tagged as written to the Hebrews who were scattered abroad. Why was it written? It was written to tie up the loose ends of Jesus being the fulfillment of the Levitical law. Remember, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so some knew that. Many in the Jewish community knew that. Many new Christians had some understanding of that. And then there was, of course, a teaching that said to become a Christian, you had to first become a Jew. Then that was not correct. But it does require understanding something about the Pentateuch and the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, the books of the law. It took some understanding of that to understand who Jesus is. So today we say, well, we're not Jewish. We're Christian. But if we don't know anything about the first five books of the Bible, it's difficult. To live a righteous life. Paul says, without the law, I knew not sin. He didn't know if he was messing up or not unless he knew what the law was. And so we move into why was it written to tie up the loose ends. It was addressed to confused or unconvinced Jews regarding Christianity, and it was written to reassure once convinced believers in the face of adversity. We talked about the soil went out to sow, and some seeds fell on the stony ground. And then they sprouted up real fast, and they started growing really fast. And then when the sun hit them, adversity hit them, they withered away. And that's the way some folk are, is that when they hear the word, they're convinced, this is the word for me. They get excited. They start shouting. They start carrying on, and they said, I want to do this in the kingdom. I want to do that. And then the first time adversity comes along, they cower and fall away. That was never their plan, but that's what often happens. And then 6 months, a year later, they're back at it again. They're excited about it again. They've heard another good word, so they're kind of up and down. Well, this letter was sent not to a church, but to a community. Hebrews is loaded with Old Testament references, especially from the books of the law, Leviticus, and all of the other books of Moses. Hebrews was written The Hebrew writer presents as a well-educated person who studied the Levitical law, and he carefully explains Jesus' fulfillment of that law. He goes into more detail than the other epistles, and he talks about animal sacrifices and how that system worked. And then he talks about angels, and he talks about Jesus. He even talks about that once we've got in this race and run and gotten to know Jesus, what happens if we pull out. So he goes the distance with this epistle. And then he carefully explains the three groups of believers that he is addressing. The first group, group A, is believers who are sold out in Jesus Christ, and they're steadfast, unmovable. That's one group. Another group is unbelievers who are intellectually convinced by the gospel. They want to hear the word. They want to be around the word, and they want to be around the people of God, but they're not totally assured. They're not totally sure that they want to sell out for Christ, but they're working on it. And then this group C is unbelievers who are attracted to Jesus Christ, but that made no final conviction about it. A lot of people like to hear the word, like to hear the promise, and they're just not sure. I want to hear some more. Well, he writes all three of those groups. And with this in mind, last week I said, now that we've covered these things, let's go to the Word of God and the verse for this week. So once again, this week, faith is endurance. So how is faith endurance? Well, first, what is endurance? Endurance is the ability to hold out. That's my definition. It's the ability to hold out. I want to talk about this week the key verse, the memory verse, the golden text, whatever you call it, or whatever your book calls it, whatever your teacher calls it. There is usually a verse in the International Sunday School lesson, and different publications pull it out differently. Some call it the key verse, some call it the memory verse, and some call it a golden text. Much can be done here. When you're emphasizing the text, what are you looking for in this text? And so tonight, our golden text, our memory verse, is Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And it's a long one. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's a lot. So one of the things that we look for in the golden text or the memory verse is that it somehow summarizes all of the verses, summarizes the whole pericope. So we're looking to see, is this a verse that summarizes? And if it is, and you're viewing it ahead of time and you're highlighting the lesson, you want to figure out how to make this verse or these two verses summarize the whole thing. It does an excellent job. Verses 1 and 2 in chapter 12, in my opinion, it does a wonderful job of representing all the verses. Now, there's some ways we can use the golden text to enhance the Sunday school lesson. First thing is, nobody's going to remember everything we talked about. Nobody's going to remember every piece of commentary. I hope we'll talk about commentary next week. Nobody's going to remember all of the 12 scriptures. Well, somebody might, but not everybody will. And so usually the golden text, the memory verse, is something, a chunk that somebody can latch on to. And oftentimes, depending on the verse, this is one that's popular, familiar. It's long, but it's popular and familiar. We can build a whole lesson around that. And we can do some group exercises. And we can do some evaluation exercises based on this memory verse. Here are some things that are common with the memory verses. Exercise of memorizing scripture. That we develop a pattern, a challenge, if you will, a challenge that who has memorized already before the class starts, who has already memorized the memory verse for today? Who has committed it to memory? And I stand in awe and watch as folks would stand up and say, let me do it. and they had studied their lesson during the week, and they let you know they studied their lesson because they memorized the memory verse, and they would like to stand before the class and share the memory verse. And then maybe somebody else will come along and say, well, who can use the memory verse, maybe not at the same time, maybe at the end of the class, as a summary for the whole lesson? It's another thing that can be done. Often it is a summary for the entire lesson. And then it's good for exercises with the whole class to get everybody involved. Now think about this, something that sounds as simple, because last week the memory verse was, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's a pretty common definition, biblical definition of faith. Well, let's say somebody memorized that. And then this week they memorized, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised and ashamed, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Someone stood up and recited that whole thing. It's powerful. Now, what if you had a class, or some people in the class, or three people in the class, or just one person in the class, and that was their gift? They have this incredible memory. That's their gift. Now, what if they did that every week? And we're calling on Brother Charles. Brother Charles, would you like to recite it this week? Yes, I would. I've learned it. I'd like to recite it. There are 52 weeks in the year. And then, well, Charles didn't just learn 52 scriptures during the course of the year. He learned 52 scriptures and 52 lesson summaries that are interconnected by quarters. So September, October, November are interwoven and interconnected. So now he has a pretty good chunk of Bible, but then watch this. Most of the international studies are designed 3.5 to 7 years. You learn the whole Bible. You've actually covered the whole Bible without reading all of the verses, but all of the concepts of the Bible are covered. So now this fella has covered all of the concepts of the Bible by learning 350 verses. Let the church say amen. So there's so many things you can do with the key verse, and that's what I wanted to address and talk about tonight, is the beauty of having the key verse. And so in this key verse, in 12:1, he says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily besets us. Well, we know something about that. So when we stop and try to analyze the lesson for this coming Sunday, we know a little bit about it. We know it's sin, and sin will park at our door. Cain said it will crouch at our door. So he says, let us lay aside every weight. Sin is a weight. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily besets us. Sin gets in our way, and we bring it in oftentimes. It gets in our own way. And run with patience the race that is set before us. So now the Hebrew writer is comparing our walk, our journey in Jesus. He's comparing that to a race. And he's not saying run it at speedsters. He says run it with patience. Race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Run the race with patience. So verse 2 says, look unto Jesus. Now, think about this. Oftentimes we get excited and do this and do that, but we are doing something without an object. We need the object of our faith. And so we say faith is endurance. We need an object of our faith that keeps us holding up, keeps us holding on, makes us able to endure. What makes us able to endure? Our faith that's focused on Jesus. The devil will step in and try to get our faith focused on stuff. He'll try to get our faith focused on other people. He'll try to get our faith focused on ourselves. Block all that out. Make Jesus the object of our faith. Let the church say amen. And so he says, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author, the creator of our faith. And he's also he's the beginning and the end of our faith. So if we keep our faith focused on him, it's a great place. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Jesus was focused. Jesus was focused and able to be excited about doing the will of the Father, even when it required him to climb up on the cross. Jesus said at one point, I wish this cup could pass away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So then it says that Jesus, because of his focus, was set at the right, is now set at the right hand of God. Faith is endured. Look at the concept in these verses. Look at the concepts in verses 3, or actually verse 1, but verses 1 through 12. Look at the concepts and how much you can do in developing as a teacher, as an instructor, or even as a student in a study of this word. Look what you can do to develop those concepts. That's so much meat to work with right here. The key verse has already summarized the whole text, but then when we break it down by verse, can't always do this. You can't do this every week and break the verses down like that. Sometimes they're interlocked, and you can, and doing one at a time doesn't make a lot of sense. But look here, it's awesome. That's so much meat to work with here. Look at verse 5, the father-son example. They give us the example of the father and the son, God being the father, and us being the children, and us looking unto God as the father, and we are the children. And then the verse 6 comes behind that and said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And that we've heard this, that the father says that beating, the spanking, is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. That's a reflection of the example of God as the father, that whom he loves, he's still chasing. I talked about it last night that he had to beat David every now and then. He says David was a man after God's own heart. And David was a great psalmist. He was a great general, a great warrior, a great shepherd. But every now and then, God had to spank David for stuff he did. And so I don't care how good we are. Every now and then, the Father has to put us in our place. And he, if we love the Lord, we got to love his chastening as well, his discipline. We need to endure his discipline. Now, faith is endurance. We need to endure the discipline of God. Appreciate God's discipline as a gesture and a quality of God's love. That if God didn't care anything about us, he would not put us back right and put us back on the right path. If God didn't love us, he wouldn't give us the quality discipline that he gives us. And then we go on through. Well, I've run out of time. But my point was made is the night's focus was the key verse, the memory verse, the golden text, emphasizing the golden text in addition to the six trusted friends. Next week, we're going to come back and add something else in. But faith is endurance. It allows us to run the race that's set before us. Well, this has been a good lesson. This is exciting. Anybody that's studying, I challenge you to look deep into the word. Remember I said last week that there's usually a surface value. There's usually a surface meaning, and then that's followed with a deeper meaning if we dig into the word. Thank you so much. May God bless and keep you. We are now going to we go into the fivefold ministry. We are followed by the fivefold ministry with Apostle Margie Mercer. We are so excited about this tandem study. Meet us here again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And for Jeremiah Speaks, may God bless and keep you. May heaven smile upon you.
Sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our
God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Hey, faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our
God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God. Yes, he is. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful
is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice
today.
For I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice
today.
is our God. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We thank you so much for listening with us each week, Monday through Fridays, on this radio station. We thank you for listening to us on Sundays when we start at 8:30 a.m. We want to thank our moderator, Reverend Reed, for spearheading our talk this evening as well as through the week. I would encourage you to listen to Jeremiah Speaks Monday through Fridays from 7 o'clock to 7:30. Again, that's Jeremiah Speaks from 7 o'clock p.m. until 7:30 p.m., after which you will have the Fivefold Ministry broadcast from 7:30 to 8. We thank God for them and the men of Zion who are lifting up that bloodstained banner. We thank you, listeners, for all over the world for tuning in with us, and, of course, our Archbishop, who made it possible for worldwide evangelism. I ask at this time if you will mute your phone. I can hear noise in the background and a little static, but we are glad that you joined in with us. And don't forget, on Sundays at 8:30, we will have Jeremiah Speaks will start us off, after which Fivefold Ministry will start in at 9. We thank God for Jeremiah Speaks for the teaching as we go into the inner courts and reverence and praise God with songs. We just heard from Hezekiah Walker, "Faithful is our God." Truly, our God is faithful, and we love him in season and out. We love him with everything that's on the inside of us. We just love the Lord. And I would like you to sit back and relax as we listen to other tunes of Zion as you come in from your heavy work schedule so you can just abase yourself in fellowship and just enjoy taking off those shoes and relaxing and just see how the Lord is blessing you right now. Let us go into another praise of Zion as you listen to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Again, I am your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, and God bless you. This is Reverend Milton Bigham.
Come on.
For tuning in with us. As I said, through the weeks, we will be on this radio dial from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. This is our disclaimer. As we listen to the songs of Zion, we want to say that the artists own rights to their own music, and this is for promotional reasons only, as we just exalt and edify them and their music to encourage you to buy those CDs. You know, it's so nice when you can just sit back and abase yourself and fellowship and think about all of the songs that God has blessed artists with in order to encourage us and motivate us. Again, you listen to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and if you would like to write us, our P.O. Box is 9786. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. Again, that's Fivefold Ministries, P.O. Box 9786, Baltimore, Maryland, 21284. You know, I feel like hearing A Lily in the Valley. That was one of my favorite tunes by John P. Key and the VIP Mass Choir. Lily in the Valley. Let us sit back and just praise God after having a busy day at work and doing different things in our lives. Let us abase ourselves and worship God. Amen. Amen.
Somebody found her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody found God.
I found him. Yes. We have found God in the valley. Good God Almighty. We just love the Lord. We love praising the Lord and just reverence his holy name. You know why? Because God has did so many great things for us. We are so grateful. As we heard earlier, that our God is a faithful God. Our God is right there for us, and we love him. I know you know that faithful is the quality, a person that's true to his word and his commitments. This is who our God is. He has pledged. He has put it in his word. He has promised that he will do exactly what he says because our God loves us. And if God can't do it, it just can't be done. You know, I love the song also by Evelyn A.G., that God did it. Yes, he did. I want to say again that your God has did it. He made everything possible for you because he loves you. You are his beloved. Let us reverence God. Amen. Amen. About the Lord, I just get so excited because you know why? That Lord is blessing you. Our Lord is blessing me. And we said that the Lord above all, heaven and earth, good God Almighty is a good God. We just love the Lord with everything that's inside of us. We want to encourage you again to listen to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast as we go into the inner courts and we play songs of Zion, and we love to worship and teach the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior. If you don't know God in the pardon of your sin, I would encourage you, all in China, Africa, Russia, America, this United States, here in all the corners of the earth, that we are to just pull at the hem of his garment and say, God, come into my heart and just fill me with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm so excited that my thoughts, my tongue is all tied up because I'm just thinking about the goodness of the Lord. I love praising God. I love hearing the songs of Zion. And if you would like to write us or to invite us to your church or your fellowship or conference, please do so. Our address and email address is F like five, F like four, M like ministry, W like worldwide dot inc, INC at Verizon.net. Again, that's FFMW.inc@Verizon.net. We would love to fellowship with you. We just got back from our revival in Jamaica, and we love going out to conferences and just to break the word of truth, and we love the fellowship of believers. So God bless you. Don't forget now, that's FFMW.inc@Verizon.net. Let us listen to again Bishop Larry Trotter and Sweet Holy Church. The Lord is blessing me right now. God bless you. Amen. right now. I know the Lord is blessing you as well. God bless you again. We encourage you just to sit back and just relax. As we said, the Lord is blessing you. Well, you have been listening to the Fivefold Ministry. We encourage you to listen to us each day, Monday through Friday, as well as on Sunday. You know what? I'm going to end it out that Jesus can work it out. God bless you. Be blessed and have a nice evening. And guess what? I will talk to you tomorrow. Amen. God bless you. As we get ready to close out our broadcast, I'm trying to get everything just working. We had a little difficult on our end, but we just love the Lord because we thank God for this fine radio station. And you know what? If Jesus can't do it, it can't be done because Jesus can work it out. God bless you. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Sitting, he's right out.